All right. Oh, I'm on, friends. I'm on. Y'all didn't know you were going to have me. I'm afraid I'm going to dump everything. Yes. Thank you. How are y'all this morning? Ooh, got a little rain going. Well, good. I'm glad that y'all are doing well, as my fancy little elves are helping me prepare to be ready for today's message. Let's give it up for my incredible helpers, my really big helpers today. I love my big helpers. Some of you know who I am, and some of you do not. I am Pastor Jody Rogers. I'm actually the youth pastor here at New Season, and I have been for a hot little minute. The church is 16 years old. I know, and we're working on our 17th year, and I am the only youth pastor they've ever had. And they got the cheapest. That's the truth. I love our church, and I love our young people. We have some incredible young people in this fellowship, and I love that I get to see some of their faces more and more on Sundays. I love you, Zoe. And it's so fun to have them be a part of New Season, because New Season is a family, like we talked about. I don't ever take it lightly to be up here behind this pulpit, whether it's on the stage or in front. I never take it lightly, and I just always want to give honor where honor is due. And just like Ms. Verna shared today, under the unction of the Holy Spirit, thank you for not allowing culture to dictate conviction, Pastor Sean. And I have submitted under you in ministry, so it's not like I'm out doing my own thing. I think it's important to submit one to another, like the word says. And so as my pastor, I want to say thank you for giving me this opportunity. I honor you and Pastor Heidi for all that you've done for me in my life. I thank you. We have the very best, just so you know. I know. So today, I thought it was very bold of Pastor Sean and Pastor Heidi to ask me to speak on a day like today with so much celebration. I said to them, you guys are crazy. We've got a baptismal, which is like my favorite thing. We've got my girl leaving. We got a Cinderella. We got so many different things going on today. And I'm not going to lie, I am the longest winded of the speakers that ever come up here. So I was like, you're crazy. So Pastor Sean's like, just cut out what you don't. I'm like, man, that's the problem. I always had. And so I was like, oh, I got this today. I'm going to go real short, just super short. And 8 pages later, I'm like, dang it, this is not short. So I'm going to, if I speak too fast or whatever, I become like that. What was the micro car guy in the 80s? Like really fast. Do you remember the little micro machines? What are they? I don't remember. But anyway, if I start talking real fast, just get the recording and slow it down and you can catch up on anything that you might have missed. That's right. This, I need to preface, is a sequel message. Okay? This is a sequel message. So if you want to know why Rocky has to fight Apollo Creed for the second time, you got to go back to the first one. If you want to know why Mrs. Potato Head has to pack Mr. Potato Head's angry eyes, just in case, you got to watch the first one. If you want to know why Katniss Everdeen and Peter Mallark are back in the arena fighting for their lives, you have to watch the first one. If you want to know why Frodo has to destroy the ring, you got to watch the first one. Okay, this is a sequel. Okay, this is a sequel message. So if you missed part one, you got to go back to part one. And this is a recap for those of you who didn't get part one. This message is not about salvation. Okay, that is part one. Salvation is part one. Jesus, all God, all man, came to the earth as part of an epic plan to redeem mankind from the grips of Satan. This plan involves Jesus living a perfect life without sin, and the hero himself, Jesus, surrendering his life to the point of death, a death that we deserved. He stepped in and took the punishment of death upon himself. He died a cruel and brutal death for us. And 3 days later, when, unlike Tony Stark or Iron Man, he defeated death and he rose again as the true hero. And with his resurrection, Jesus then gave his disciples or his followers a direct mission. And he promised them that he would give them power to fulfill that mission. 50 days later, the Holy Spirit comes at the direction of God the Father. He sent the Holy Spirit, and with Holy Spirit came all that they needed to get the job done. That's part one, in case you missed it. That was a recap. So again, today, I have to preface, this is not about salvation. Because once you've committed your life to Jesus, you have to live out the directive that he gave his disciples to do. You have to go on. You have to move to part two. And if that's not clarified, then you're going to miss the most important part, which is salvation. That is the baseline. You can't build upon it. Salvation is only what Jesus can do. Only Jesus can do salvation. Okay, I can't do it. I tried it and I came short. That was the point of needing a savior. I could not save myself. Salvation is only what Jesus can do. Obedience is what only I can do. Jesus obeyed to the point of the cross. Now it's my turn. So part two is today. It's the sequel. Now, today, for those of you who know like who I am and how I typically do things, it's going to be a little different from me. It's more of a prophetic utterance, okay? It's more of a prophetic thing from my own life that I feel like God is saying, and that there's some clear direction that the body needs to take. And so I'm going to walk you through a conversation that I had with the Lord the other day. I was actually about a month ago. I was driving down Meridian and make a right onto Southern to make my way to where I spend most of my life, right over here. Okay. And as I'm driving, I know that some of you, especially live in this area, you noticed months ago, things started changing real quick. There were empty fields that were cleared out that had been there for years and years and years, overgrown. Now they were all cleared out and they were prepared for development. And then on Southern and Meridian, same thing. That's an area you avoid when it rains. It floods all the time. You know, like they've rehauled it, whatever. Now this whole empty field is cleared up and they're massively developing things on this land. And I was like, whoa, there's like a lot of changes. If you notice, this is a season of lots of changes. And I know the market and I know, you know, all that stuff like this. But I felt like God was talking to me specifically about that. So I drove down Southern and I make a left onto Ironwood. And if you're not familiar with the area, it's just right up here. And there is a building that's been sitting there empty for years. It was an Osco building, and it has been empty for years. And I turn the corner and it's gone. In one day, like, it's gone, leveled. And I was like, what in the world? And the moment I looked over and I saw it completely empty, I felt like God said, potential doesn't, it only lasts for so long. Okay, here's the secret into my world. I looked at that building and I was like, oh, I want that building. That'll be like a youth center. Like, we could literally, this area is the only area that does not have a seminary. It does not have a seminary. Apache Junction School District is like one of the only school districts that do not have a Mormon seminary. And in order to have a seminary, you have to be so many feet off of school campus. I said, that building could work. I could have my own seminary. We could be training up people to take the schools during the day and be like a secret mission. Like, come on. You know, I dreamed about this. Ask me how many times I called to find out how much it was worth. Zero. None. Yeah. Pastor Sean did. And then we thought, you know what? We'll start small. We'll make it the church building. Then we'll add on. Then it can be the youth center. Like, we were dreaming. And God said, potential only lasts for so long. And then I felt like God kept saying to me, I gave the church 2020 to cultivate potential, and we didn't pass the test. I said, okay. We didn't pass the test. And then I felt like he said, there's another opportunity coming. And I'm not going to say what it is because I don't know. God said, there's another opportunity. I'm bringing a second wave of opportunity for the church. And who's the church? I'm giving the church another opportunity to cultivate potential, because potential always has an expiration date. You want to find the richest place, the place that's fullest of potential? Go to a graveyard. It's filled with hopes and dreams that are unfulfilled. It's filled with potential that met an end. It met its expiration date. And you know, when I was looking up and talking to somebody specifically about that OSCO building that was completely leveled, I found out that it costs more to have the empty building standing on the lot than to completely level it all together. And God started talking to me about that. It costs more to have potential of vision and direction and encouragement than to do nothing with it. It felt like God is giving us vision and direction and encouragement to do something that we've always known we needed to do for a while, but it's actually costing us so much more in unused potential. It's costing us more than we realize. You see, whenever you live in a state of what I could be, you're always dealing with shame. I'm not what I should be. You're always dealing with guilt. I missed my opportunity. I'm not doing anything. It's fourth day in a row and I haven't had my quiet time. You just put on more guilt. Unused potential perpetuates shame, guilt, and hopelessness and fear. It's never going to come. I'm never going to be what I was meant to be. And we don't even realize it. You know, it's kind of like our unused potential in our physical bodies. You know what that is? Anybody know what unused potentials are? Fat. Fat is stored energy. Some of us have been storing a little more energy than we used to. And it's potential energy, but it's unused. And that's exactly what we are. We don't realize that unused potential can lead to grogginess spiritually, make us sick, can make us tired and weary, can make us lazy and immobile, and eventually it can kill us. And that's exactly what God is speaking to us today. So I'm going to pray that he would show you exactly what we need to do today. He would show me what I need to do today, and that he would help us learn and grow so that we can actually release that energy. Father, we just come to you today and we thank you that you're already speaking, you're already moving. I pray for peace in this house today. I come against all forms of condemnation that the enemy would try to bring against us whenever we talk about potential. I come against guilt and shame in the name of Jesus. And I thank you that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I thank you that we are not weighed down by shame or guilt, but Father, we are free to walk in our potential today. Lord, I pray that you would get all the glory and all the honor in this message today. I would get nothing, God. I pray that they would only see you in the midst of everything that's presented today. In Jesus' name, speak to us, Holy Spirit. Amen. So I know that a lot of you know that I am a creative and I'm a dreamer. I am a creative and I'm a dreamer. And Pastor Sean is my dreaming buddy. And we would have late meetings, Pastor Sean, Pastor Heidi, and I. And Pastor Sean and I would go back and forth with dreaming. And Pastor Heidi would be sitting there with a notepad taking notes of all the things that she needs to do to execute them dreams, okay? And that's what she does. And I have had many conversations about this. An empty canvas. I talked to Pastor Sean multiple times about how I would love to have in my house a blank canvas hanging up and call it potential. Potential. See, I'm totally a creative. Some of you have been to the Art Museum of Phoenix and you see some of those little like, and you're like, dude, that's like $4 million. I could do that. I totally could do that. You know what I'm saying? I sometimes can fit into that category. And this is one of them. This is called potential. Because you in your mind can dream of all the options and the things it can become. Some of you have pictured an abstract piece and it's just full of color. Some of you have actually thought of like a farm scene of like when you're a kid and you're back home, you know? But the problem with a blank canvas is it's only worth the material it's made of. This was a solid $2. Exactly. Hallie saw me yesterday. $2. That's all it's worth. Because the artist's touch is what makes it valuable. And sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you, sometimes I like dreaming about possibilities of what things can become more than doing something with it. Because doing something with it means there's a potential for disaster. Does anybody else feel that way? Sometimes I like looking at this and saying, yeah, the potential is endless. But if I put my hand to it, I know my limitations. I know what I can and what I cannot do. And it's not going to be a masterpiece. Do you know what I mean? Realistically, it's not going to be the potential I've created in my mind. And I'm a perfectionist, so I can't have imperfection in my art. And if the ultimate value of a piece is based on the artist's touch, then I'm in trouble because I know what I can and what I cannot do. Does that make sense? And the same is with our lives. We don't do it. And, you know, sometimes I think when I look at this picture, I think once it's done, that's the potential it has. So, Miss Hannah, if you can show me a potential that's been released. So this painting was painted, I don't know, maybe 9 years ago, 10 years, by a beautiful artist sitting in the front row. That's you, Pastor Heidi. Yeah. Pastor Heidi, you thought you threw it away. I stole it. So this was our children's church room. This was the logo. And since we changed it all up, we had to, you know, we got rid of it because it's unnecessary now. And so I found it sitting by the, good catch. I found it sitting by the trash over there. Okay. And I looked at it and that's the fullest potential it was ever given. That's it. That was the final, it reached its potential with the artist's hands. And she did a great job, but now it's out to trash, right? It's done. And so that's what I feel like if sometimes I feel like I'm nervous to start anything in my life because A, I'm going to mess it up, or B, once I get to the end, then is it really going to live up to the hype, or is it just going to be thrown out to trash? Thank you, Miss Hannah. Thank you, beautiful Vanna White. Love you. Love you. So we'd rather have a barren life and look pretty with the possibility of potential than see what comes when we put some work into it. I kept running across this scripture passage, and I feel like God is saying it over and over again because it keeps showing up. You ever notice that? Like in these passages and these sermons that you listen or whatever, it's the same. It's the same over and over again. This is Hosea. Nobody preaches out of a Hosea. Hosea chapter 10. Some of you didn't even realize there were 10 chapters in Hosea. Verses 12 through 13. It says, sow for yourself righteousness. Sow, that's an action. Sow for yourself righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. Said, lately, you have plowed wickedness and you have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies because you trusted in your own way. Now's the time to seek the Lord. Now's the time to seek the Lord. If you're taking notes, today's message is titled From Barren to Bearing. From barren or empty to bearing to producing. And it comes from a secret parable. I call it a secret parable because only Luke is the only one who noted it. And I never hear it in church. I don't think I've ever heard a message regarding this passage, this parable. And so after I was driving, after I had my lesson with the Lord as I was driving, I've been reading in the book of Luke, and this came up. And I was like, oh, this is exactly what you've been talking to me about. He's real sneaky. You're real sneaky. Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9 gives us a story. And it so reflects what I feel like God is saying. So Jesus is speaking, and he spoke this parable. He said, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it, and he found none, nothing. And then he said to the keeper of the vineyard, look, okay, guys, look, for 3 years, I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find nada. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But the keeper answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and I fertilize it and it bears fruit. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, then after that, you can cut it down. Makes sense. Now, this passage is specifically Jesus is talking about the people of Israel and how he had come. God had been working with Israel, wanting to restore or fulfill his covenant with them. And Jesus is the Messiah. That's what he's talking about. But I see it so much in my own life. I see it as the potential that I'm not releasing. So this fig tree is planted in a vineyard. That was my first thought. Mm-hmm. A fig tree planted in a vineyard. You know what I mean? Like the tree, this is two different things. And I looked it up. Fig trees are really hardy, okay? And so they have to be placed in a very nutritious environment, okay? The ground in a vineyard is very nutritious. And they line the grounds as a border. So they serve a purpose of protection, and they provide security and strength because a lot of the grapevines will even grow on them, use them as a stable force. They also protect the grapevines from birds. Because from stealing their fruit, because birds would rather have figs because they're sweeter than grapes. So it's a deterrent and stuff like that. So it's very important that this fig tree is producing figs. It was kind of useful, but it wasn't fruitful. So in this parable, which is a story that tells a deeper meaning, this tree looked like it should be producing fruit. That's why he kept looking for fruit. But there was no fruit. It was useful, but it wasn't really fruitful. And so whenever this owner of the field gives this history and he says he's been looking for 3 years and he's found none, he's talking about his frustration that there's plenty of time to start doing what it needs to do, but it wasn't doing it. The truth is God is looking for fruit. There's a lot of gifts and there's a lot of talents and there's a lot of charisma. And there's a lot of intellect, but God's not looking for that. He's looking for fruit, love, joy, peace. He's looking for fruit, and fruit is grown. It takes time. It takes tenderness. It's intentional. You know, notice Jesus, when he's sharing this parable, he doesn't use the example of a building. He doesn't use an example of a building. A building is something that I can get done. It's got materials, da, da, da. It's very A and B. A tree is different. If any of you ever try to grow anything, including myself, I can't seem to grow anything. It's nothing I can control. I can't control it. I can only assist it or I can destroy it. And I'm really, really good at the latter. Oh, forgot to water. It's been 8 days. I go outside and it's a shriveled, you know, shriveled mess. But in our lives, there's things that need to be cultivated and grown, but God is the one who brings the growth. We have a part to play because the truth is This is going to sound really heretical, okay? I'm not a heretic. Listen to what I'm going to say. The whole thing, okay? Don't cut and paste and don't post this on no YouTube and then get emails, stuff like this. But there's some things that only God can do. And there's some things that only you can do. It has nothing to do with ability. God is bound by his will and his word. And when his will supersedes your will, he ain't gonna do it. It says there's some things that he just won't do. Okay, let me give you an example. God can heal you of heart disease. God, I know it for a fact. I've lived it. God healed my physical heart at 12 years old, miraculously. He can heal your heart, but he does not keep you from going through the drive-through at Krispy Kreme for that fifth donut. He don't do that. He won't do that. That's what you do. He can provide you a great job, but he will not set your alarm to make sure you get up every day and you actually go to your job. That's your part. And a lot of times we get so mad at God, but the things we get mad at him about are really the things that we can do. And there's some things, of course, that it's really hard because there's some things that only he can do. We have to just trust him in the middle of it. So I'm not talking necessarily about God's ability. It's about his will. There's a part that we must play. You will be planted and you'll be provided for. But pretty soon, the potential is going to have an expiration date. And again, this is not about salvation. It's not about what you do. That's what only Jesus can do. I'm talking about from this point on, we have a job to do, and our job is to produce fruit. We're given tools. We're given wisdom. We're given opportunities. But we live in a state of potential when we don't use those tools, wisdom, and opportunity. So in verse 7, the man says to the keeper, if it's not doing its purpose, cut it down because it's wasting the ground. The Amplified says that it's depleting the soil and it's blocking the sunlight. In other words, it's a consumer, not a producer, and it's a hindrance to the growth of others. Now, when I think about my own life, there's been multiple times I was a consumer and not a producer. And that could have been even for the first like 18 to 20 years of my life. I just go to the fridge. I'm a consumer. Mom, there's no more milk. Oh my goodness. I can't have my eighth bowl of cereal. I was a consumer. Did I go to the store and buy the milk? Mm-mm. I wasn't at the place of maturity to produce. And I'm not going to lie, there's been times in my life that I was not assisting and helping the growth of others. I was hindering the growth of others. It became all about me. I can't believe that person's just talking about me. You know, they were saying all these things and they don't even know the whole story. They don't even have a clue. And Pastor Sean's preaching and all I can think about is how that person eight rows over is, you know, such a hypocrite. Hear the irony? Hear the irony? Yeah, thanks. Hallie heard it. She laughed. She goes, I was a hypocrite, okay? I'm not, I all of a sudden was not helping or assisting in somebody else's growth. Or maybe like somebody comes in and they're really struggling and I'm having a hard time just giving them grace. Can you believe that person? They were vaping in the bathroom. You have no idea where they're at. And instead of just throwing this judgment on them, you forgot to remind them that they're important and that they have purpose in their life. Sometimes we're a hindrance. And when that's the case, we meet the end of our potential. Now, again, this is not about salvation. This is about our potential to produce fruit for the kingdom of God. So in verse 8, the keeper immediately steps in as a mediator for the fig tree. It's like, this is my baby for the fig tree. And he asks for one more chance. He asks for one more year one other short season. One more year. He states his intentions to steward the tree with intention for growth. And prophetically speaking, I feel like God is giving us a limited another season to steward some things better. And what we do in this very limited season will either cut it off or it will release the potential that's been hiding all along. You see, the truth is some of us have not been stewarding some things in our life. Take, for example, our mind. God gave us a mind. He did. And we have not been stewarding that mind. We let it wander. We let it daydream. We let it fantasize. We have not disciplined it to think on the things that are good, lovely, and pure. And the result of that a lot of times can be anxiety, can be depression, can be comparison, can be low self-esteem. That's because, and we ask God to help us and he will help us. But sometimes maybe we need to tell ourselves what to think. That's stewarding your mind. How about our emotions? We all have them. They're not bad. They should not be snuffed down, but they should also not tell me what the truth is. They should be stewarded. It's important to cry at loss because it helps you go through the grieving process or you'll just get stuck. It helps you to express, hey, I'm really frustrated and angry right now. Those are emotions that God gave us as indicators of what's going on in our heart. But it should never be the driving force of things. We need to steward those. That's my job. That's my job. God can help me put my emotions in check. But my job is to help discipline it. How about our finances? Finances, okay? We all have it. It's a resource. It's not bad. It's not necessarily good. It's amoral, okay? But we need to steward it. God's given those things to us. So maybe this is a time in your life that you need to steward your finances, how you spend, how much you save. Some of you are really good at the spending portion. You only get the things that you need, but you're not really good at the saving portion. That's going to help you in the long run. Or giving. Saving, spending, and giving. Those three things need to be given and need to be given place in your life, and you need to steward those so that you can walk in the fullness of what God wants for you. So you can be effective. You might be a potential, you might have potential in your finances to totally change the world. But if you're so busy saving and not giving, how are you ever going to see that potential release? Or if you're so busy spending and not giving or not saving, you're limiting your potential. That's for you to steward. What about your health? Have we been good at stewarding our health? I'm not very good at it. I don't exercise like I need to. I eat rough. And there's such an incredible connection between what you put in your body and your emotions, your all of it. It's all intertwined. How about stewarding your family? Do you have one-on-one time with your family members? Face-to-face time. What about your job? Do you just do just enough to get the job done? What about your opinions? Do you steward your opinions well? Do you know what I mean? Those have been given to us. We have them. There's nothing wrong with them. But how we share them can either hinder somebody's growth in the things of God, or it could help encourage them. Opinions, or even our relationship with Jesus. How we steward that? Do we challenge ourselves to go deeper or to do more? Or do we just live with good enough? Sunday morning, good enough. Okay, you know, or do we intentionally put effort into seeing growth? So how do I do my part? How do I convert my potential into producing purpose in my life? How do I go from barren to bearing? You have to start with your part, what your part is, what my part is. What can we do? So the keeper says that he's going to do two things. The first thing he says, he's going to dig around it. First one, he's going to dig around it. See, the purpose of digging around it, the tree, is to ensure that the nutrients get to the roots. And that nothing is hindering the roots. What things in your life are hindering you in the areas you need to grow? What do you need to remove from your life so that growth can happen? Maybe social media is interfering with the face-to-face time with your family. That's what you can do. That's what you can do. Maybe bad friends that just always drive you in the wrong way are hindering not only your relationship with God, but your relationship with your parents. If you're dating a really cute boy and he tells you to sneak out in the middle of the night, that's going to hinder your relationship with your parents. Same thing. We think that they are so separated, but they're so all a part of who we are, and we need to steward those things. Or even some relationships that get in the way of other relationships. I spend more time developing this relationship and I'm neglecting the other ones that I'm supposed to be building up because our lives are filled with relationships. What about your belongings? The things that you have? Maybe some of us need to sell some of them or give them away so that we can have more money to save, more money to give. You know what I mean? It all works. It all works together. So the first thing that we have to do is we need to dig around it. We need to remove some things in our life. And the second thing he does is he fertilizes it. Fertilizer provides nutrients that plants need to grow. Okay? Fertilizer is not plant food. I don't know if you realize this or remember this from seventh grade science class, but plants produce their own food using sunlight, remember? And the ground, the nutrients from the ground. So fertilizer doesn't, it's not the cure-all. It's not the miracle thing. It just aids in helping the plant do whatever it needs to do. So what things do you need to add to your life so that growth can happen? Maybe a date night if you're married. Maybe if you're a parent, a date night with your kid. One-on-one time, adding those things into it. How about talking to our prime crew over here and getting help financially so that you can be better stewards with your money? Or how about intentionally spending time to not just say a prayer at dinner table, but actually spend time in praying for your spouse or your kids, like devoted time? That doesn't have to be 8 hours. Nobody's got 8 hours to spend to do that. That would be so awesome, but we can't, okay? We have jobs to do. We have to steward those as well. But what are we putting into it to add to it? Some of us need to add vegetables to our lives. Just add some vegetables, okay? That'll help steward this body. Just add them, okay? You don't even have to take the good starting place is just add that broccoli in, add some asparagus. You don't like the way it tastes, find out ways to make it taste good so that you're at least adding it in to steward your health. Exercising, or some of you have a really hard time reading the Bible, download the Bible app. Add the Bible app to your phone so that every morning when you first wake up, you can do the little story. It takes all of like 3 minutes. Everybody's got 3 minutes. And you can at least start by adding those things in your life. You see, some of you may feel like your potential has been met, kind of like that painting. Now there's no hope for change. I mean, I've already done all this stuff. That's it, Pastor Jody. I've just met my limit. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 tells us that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have been made new. That's the beauty of salvation. Your life could be a mess, and he provides a whole new canvas. Salvation provides for us a blank canvas, and some of us have been in the exact same state for 38 years, and we feel no hope for change. It provides us with this opportunity to really see what can come from this mess. Jesus, don't you know my story? My parents have never been like really loving or caring. They never told me how important I was. So, I mean, can you expect me to be in any other state than this state that I'm in? I just never disciplined as a child. So, you know, it's my mom's fault. She's always been like this. So, of course, I'm going to be like this. My dad's always been an alcoholic. So, of course, I got to follow suit. Some of us have made a real mess of our lives, and we don't really know how in the world we're going to change it. It kind of reminds me of a story. And this story takes place in John, if you're taking notes, John chapter 5, okay? John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. This is a story. It's a very famous story. It's a story of Jesus going into town. And he comes to a place where there's a lot of hopelessness and a lot of brokenness. There's no hope for change. Looks like it's a giant mess. My marriage has always been tumultuous. And a lot of times we look at our surroundings and we say, nobody's there. Nobody's helping me change. Nobody's helping me get what I need. That we forget that Jesus is standing right in front of us. Jesus asked the man one question. Do you want to be healed? And the man's response was excuse after excuse after excuse. Now, mind you, he'd been there for 38 years, so his situation was pretty dire, pretty frustrating. But Paul says in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. And the reason why he can supply all our needs, because he is the need meter. He is the center. He is the very center of it all. He is the source of it all. Woo. He is the very center of it all. You see, he forgot that Jesus is the source for change. That Jesus does what only Jesus can do, and we can only do what we can only do. Thanks. I'm sorry, I thought that was set. Let's do this. Thanks. Thank you. You see, he was the one to meet the man's need. It was like right after this portion of scripture that Jesus had just told the woman at the well, hey, you're looking for the wrong source. I am the one. I am living water. And if you taste of me, you'll never thirst again. So, if Jesus is in front of us and he supplied our needs, all of our needs, and 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it tells us that he gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So in other words, we have all that we need. So what's stopping us from releasing our potential? It reminds me of the story of the talents. One guy given 5, one guy given 2, and the other one given 1. And in Matthew chapter 25, verse 15, it says that they were given each one to its own ability. So God's not expecting something out of you that he didn't put in you. He's not, you will never see in the scripture that you're supposed to fly. It says you will mount up with wings like eagles. But it doesn't say, all right, just spread them and let's go. You know, you're going to float. No, because it's not in you. It's not in you. God is not expecting you to do something that you can't do. But if it's really in you, what's stopping you? In verse 25 of that same passage with the talents, the guy who was called the wicked servant, it says that he, when he was asked, why didn't you at least go put it in the bank? He said, I knew you to be a hard man and I was afraid. Fear. just like we talked about at the beginning. Fear of messing things up. Fear is what keeps us unfruitful. Today, we take a step. We're supposed to do what we know to do, even though it looks like a mess in front of us. We trust that God is going to be building himself within us. And because the pain of failure doesn't last as long as the pain of regret, we're going to take a step. Yes, it hurts to fail, but it's so much more painful to have regret. Today is our day of obedience. We must sustain, like Pastor told us. We must cultivate what's right in front of us. And I don't know if you realize, but this year, 2021, in Jewish culture, is the year of the Shemitah. It's the year of the fallow ground. This is the year you don't sow. You give the land time to rest, replenish itself for a harvest in the next season. And I believe God is saying that to his church. This is your season to just, the only thing you're allowed to do in Jewish culture for the year of Shemitah is water and prune what's already there. That's what we're supposed to do this year. We're supposed to take what's in front of us, our families, our bodies, our health, and we need to cultivate it so that we can be fruitful. This is not the season to sow. This is not the season to go and do these massive things. The harvest is coming, but we have to be prepared. That's why we have to sustain, like Pastor told us. We need to find our quiet place, like Pastor told us. What does God want to build in your life? What God wants to build in your life is himself. He wants to show you and to show the world what you were made for, and that's him. He wants to show himself in your life, in your mess, and that's all you have to do is what you got to do, what's right in front of you. And through it, he's going to build himself. He'll get the glory. He'll get the honor, because you'll sit back and you'll go, I remember the way my marriage was, and all I did was cultivate my husband. All I did was cultivate my wife. All I did was cultivate my child. You know that one, that wayward one? You know that one that's a little wild, a little crazy? Instead of talking down to him, I decided to build him up and talk life into him. I decided to encourage him in the things I do see in him. Yeah, you're a leader. Sometimes you don't lead in the right way, but you're going to start leading in the right way because God's got a call on your life and he has a purpose and he wants to build it within you. That's your life. He wants to build you. He wants to cultivate himself in and through your life. And so today, we have to take that step of obedience. It's just doing the things that are right in front of us. Sometimes it's the hardest thing to do. Get up every morning, open my Bible app. Some of you have not really stepped into that new season of your life in your relationship with God, and you have an opportunity to be baptized today. It's right there, right out there in front of you. You're like, I ain't ready. Potential doesn't last forever. Potential has an expiration date. It does. It does, and we don't want to miss our opportunity. We don't want him to take away the things he's given us and give it to somebody else because they're faithful to use it and not driven by fear. Today's our day. If you do want to be baptized and you didn't sign up, I encourage you to talk to Pastor Sean right after this message, and he'll fill you in. He'll make sure you're ready for this commitment because it's not a little thing. It is an outward sign of what God is doing inside of you. But today's your day. If you are at the place you say, man, I know I need to cultivate something in my life. Father, I pray that right now you would show them what it is. Whatever it is, if it's their health, their marriage, their family, their community, their church, whatever it is, God, their job, I pray that right now you'd speak to them what it is that you want to do in them and through them. If that's you and you say, I want to cultivate something, I'm going to spend this next year or this season of my life and I'm going to cultivate, I'm going to be intentional to remove some things and add some things. If that's you, I want you to go ahead and stand up. I want to pray that God would grace you for that. You say, I want to see real growth in this next season of my life. I don't want to just look a good a good part, but instead I want to be fruitful. God is looking for fruit and I want to be fruitful. God is looking for love, patience, and peace and joy. And I want those things built in my life. And no matter what I do, I can't add it. I can't make it happen. I have to let God do his work in our lives. So I'm going to go to Hawaii and spend 7 weeks to cultivate my relationship with the Lord so that I can be more fruitful in the next season. I'm gonna spend Monday nights to be our family nights. I'm not gonna let anything get in the way of that. I'm gonna start selling some things so I can stash it away because I might be the one who gets to build an orphanage in Cambodia. So kids can come and receive the truth of who God is. Your potential is right in you. It is Christ in you. Your limit is Christ. That's your limit, is Christ within you. So you have no limits. He is your potential. Whatever God dreams is big enough. Whatever God dreams is for you. If you want him to just minister to you and through you and help you and grace you in the season, just go ahead and lift your hands and I'm going to pray for you right now and we'll dismiss. Father, I thank you so much for every person. And I'm raising my hands today as well, Jesus. I want to cultivate what you've given me. I don't want to waste it away, God. I don't want it to be look a good a show, but Father, I want it to be fruitful. I don't want it to be all about me. I want it to be all about you. I don't want it to just add to emptiness to my life, but Father, I want it to add fruit to your kingdom, God. I want it to bring souls in, and I want to be useful for you. And Jesus, there's some areas in my life that need help. So, Father, I'm going to do my part. Help me, grace me to do my part. Grace these people in here to do their part. And, God, I'm going to trust you to do your part. God, I surrender it over to you. We surrender our health. We surrender our marriages, our finances. We surrender our jobs. We surrender our friends. We surrender our kids to you, God. Help us do our part, and we give you the opportunity to do your part. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, I don't want to leave this moment. If there's anybody in here who has not received Jesus and the salvation that he presents to you, the gift of salvation, he knew you would not be enough. He knew you would not be good enough to rescue yourself. So that's why he came. He cared enough about you to sacrifice himself on the cross, because he would be the only one that's good enough. And he wants to extend salvation to you so that your potential could really be released. And not only that, he just wants you. He loves you. Some of you are way down with guilt and shame in your life, and you need to give it over to the Lord. And you've never given your life over to him. You've never made that step, that commitment. Or maybe you did when you were a kid because of whatever reason. If you're here today and you want to give your life to Jesus or rededicate your life to Jesus, I want you to raise your hand right now. Jesus, I thank you for every person that's here. I pray that you would minister to them your love and your forgiveness. I come against all forms of guilt and shame that would totally steal the seed of today. But Father, I pray that you would wash them clean. You would make them new like your word promises. We thank you, Jesus, for being so good and so faithful. Just whisper to him, I give you my all. I give you my all, Jesus. Take me as I am. Use me for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God has got great things for you. We've got a baptism to celebrate. So let's go ahead and make our ways. If you did not sign up and you want to be baptized today, and you haven't met with Pastor Sean, he's going to be on stage right now. You can do that. Go grab you a couple quick snacks and then head straight out so that we can get the baptismal going and we can celebrate big. Be released in Jesus' name. Okay. Yes.